Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host today, and with me is a very lovely leading lady who I'm delighted to have on our show, and I want to introduce all of you to. But our leading lady today is Kaylin Ellsbury, and she is the Director of Talent Communications at Landmark Makers. And I'm super excited because when you hear this lovely leading lady today, she is an inspiration, and we're going to have a conversation today on I Am Blank, the Untold Story of Success. So Kaylin, can you say hello to all of our listeners and welcome to the show?
Well, thank you, and hello, everybody. I'm very excited to get the opportunity to collaborate, and this is going to be a fun half hour.
Well, it will be because you are absolutely an inspiration, my dear, just in our brief conversation we've had and just, you know, what you've kind of shared with me. But, you know, I know for our audience and listeners that are kind of listening in, they're like, I am what? I am blank? It's like, you got to tell me, it's like, what is the focus of I am blank? And for all of our listeners, what's the blank? What's the untold story of success?
Yeah, and it's really the beauty of the title. Is the blank, whatever you want to put in that blank, it is your definition of who you are and where you want your reality to be. So it's ambiguous because of that exact reason.
I am blank. So, you know, if you had to put in what the blank is for you, it's like I'm really dying to know because you're our leading lady, but what would the blank be for you as far as your untold story of success?
Well, it's actually listed in the book at the very end in Chapter 9, so they'll have to stay tuned. But I'll give you a little hint as we wind down into this. It's not what you will think, so we'll leave it at that.
Well, and we got to tell our listeners, so you actually have a new book coming out, and the title is I Am Blank, The Untold Story of Success. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And so let's back up then. So if you're not going to give us that kind of hanging chad, the kind of like thing we're hanging on is the answer, it's like give us a little bit of idea, Kaylin. What was the inspiration of the book? And, you know, can you give us just a little bit of an overview on it? Because no one can get it yet. All of our listeners are going to be excited when it comes out later in October. But what was kind of the overall guiding kind of idea or spark, you know, for your book?
Absolutely. So the reality is I am 28 years old and I have cystic fibrosis, which is a genetic condition. I was born with it. It's an extremely progressive condition. So I typically spend about 6 months a year in the hospital. And one of the things that I realized is I went up against Big Pharma and I was able to secure drug pricing for about 900 patients in California to make a very progressive drug affordable. And that was how it all started. So what it does is it describes what it's like to overcome adversity with a terminal illness against the backdrop of interviews that I've personally conducted with people such as the co-founder of Netflix, Boomer Esiason, Sharon Lecter, she's behind the Rich Dad Poor Dad series, and 20 other very influential entrepreneurs and athletes.
You know, I mean, first of all, I just want to say, oh, my gosh, you know, I mean, just in our conversations, I had no idea, you know, and I can't even imagine walking in your shoes what it's like to be told you have cystic fibrosis. I mean, can you just share a little bit? I mean, how old were you when you found out? And you just sound so positive. And in interacting with you, I'm like, wow, you're an inspiration. But, you know, when did you find out you had cystic fibrosis? Can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, I was about 24 hours old, so it was more shocking for my parents than it was for me, and that's probably where the positivity comes in, is I don't know any life different than the life I live, so I never had the opportunity to ever be sad because, I mean, this is just the cards that you're dealt. So it's really how you play them as opposed to what you're looking at.
You know, and that's so true. And it's like, I mean, you definitely have that kind of lilt in your voice and all that, but can't even imagine what it's like to walk in your shoes. So, you know, for those of us that are dealing with, let's say, adversity or, you know, blank. Let's put blank in there. We'll use your book, you know, idea. What would be maybe some suggestions that you would have for our listening audience about, you know, how to kind of deal with adversity? Because obviously you have. I mean, how do you keep your positive attitude knowing, you know, what you're dealing with? I would imagine health and nutrition and, you know, you're very regimented about making sure that you are keeping your overall health and wellness, you know, very much in check. But what else, you know, do you do? Because it sounds like you, you know, you're doing things in the right way. Share with our listeners who cannot even hold a candle to what you're dealing with.
Well, the thing is I actually went to a Women in Biotech event last evening, and it was such a great, great group of women, all of them multiple PhDs, I mean, brilliant women. And one of the things that they were mentioning is cystic fibrosis is a rare disease. So it's about 70,000 people in the world have it. And one of the ladies got up and she's like, you know what? We all are a rare disease because we're all weird mutations. Nobody is exactly like anybody else. This makes sense. But if we think of that a little bit more, everybody being rare, that kind of means that we're all the same. So just because I typically have a very regimented schedule as far as IV medications, I take about 30 plus pills a day, a couple hours of nebulization treatments. I run a company and then I just authored a book. That's just my rare disease, but we all have that opportunity within us. It just comes to the real key is figuring out what you want your opportunity to look like and then setting a process and a schedule and just like you said, a regimen around what you want your life to look like.
I like that. And, you know, I don't know if you can go a little more specific because, you know, I mean, you also talk about how you help entrepreneurs and athletes, you know, really identify the drivers to success. Can you share what some of those pieces are? Because I don't, you know, of course, don't want you to give away the stuff in your book, but we have a listening audience I know that are very much high achievers and they want to succeed more effectively. How would you tie that in for those of us that are females and we want to achieve and lead more effectively in business?
You know, and I'm so glad you asked that, and I am more than happy to elaborate on that because what I found, and, you know, I never saw myself as a role model. I never saw myself as an inspiration, a leader. That's for the other people. You know, they're 10 times better at any given skill than I am. So the only voice I had was to interview them and ask them why. And it was a pretty resounding pattern that came up in these couple hour-long interviews over the course of the last year. And it's that failure does happen. It talks about how to view failure in a way that puts your mind at ease. The power and the ability to make a decision, because no decision is a decision, and that's the decision you'll have to deal with. The power of taking advantage of your subconscious mind and understanding really how that works and what drives you. It talks about some of the ways that they create their affirmations, the things that they say to themselves that allow them to lead in their day-to-day life, how they can come over some excuses. The top, there's a top five, I noticed, patterns of excuses that influential people had that they had to overcome. And then the habits you're able to form around those excuses to make it a lot more easy to deal with than initially, because obviously anytime we have an excuse, it's like this giant mountain. And so the habits we cultivate give us the tools to conquer that mountain. And then I do touch on the power of sales as well, because everything and anything we do in life is sales. It's no longer a dirty word. I mean, it's 2016. Sales is nothing more than persuasion and influence. I mean, as long as you're ethical about it, I mean, sales is a beautiful thing. So it really shatters a lot of those self-limiting beliefs that women entrepreneurs and successful women have that hold us back. And, you know, so the reality is we don't need to be held back by them anymore.
See, now I got to ask the question because I'm like, okay, can I share how old you are with our listening audience? You can say yes or no, but can I?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You're 28 years old, you shared with me. And I'm going, how did you get so wise beyond your years? Because I don't know that I had any of that kind of insight at 28 years old. And I'm going, can we bottle you and can we sell you? Because, you know, I mean, even what you said about sales, I'm just like, and again, just what you deal with on a health basis, I can't even imagine. But you know, what motivates you? I mean, what's the fire under your belly, girl, to find that kind of like expertise and wisdom at 28 years old? I'm really curious.
I mean, honestly, if we're going to get real deep here, every year of my life, I've been told the next year might not happen. And so when you can only plan that you might not be alive in another year, you're kind of faced to come up with some really good, strong decision-making abilities in the time that you have. And you start to realize that you've got a higher quality life than what you might have originally expected. So I think being locked in a hospital for up to 6 months a year and then being wondering, you know, is this my last year? I don't really know. You come to a lot of self-realization. And, you know, my best friends during all of these hospitalizations and still today, I mean, they're authors that I respect. They're my heroes. They're people I admire. They don't have a clue who I am, but I can certainly quote any one of them. And that's what gets you through it, is you brainwash yourself for the direction you want your life to go.
Man, I mean, just seriously, I'm like, I got goosebumps on my hands because I think you know, if I can share. So since we're going to go deep here, you know, Kaylin, it's like, I'm going to go, you know, I've had a bad morning. It's like, you know, just things didn't go the way I wanted to today. And I'm going, you know, it just seems so small in the scope of things. And, you know, again, I think you've got some really wise advice. But I want to know a little bit more about, you know, at least for the book, it's like, are there a couple more tips you can give us that might give us some insight into the book? And then, of course, want to ask you where you want people to go if they're interested in finding out more. But, you know, I'm kind of curious about the evolution of your book. How did you go about writing it? Did you research? Was it all, you know, your thoughts, your opinions? Or tell us a little bit more about the book and the overall you know, kind of content without sharing all of the key points, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's kind of the snapshot that will really, I hope, help everyone who's listening today. There's a quote, I do not know who it's by, but it's, a bird sitting on a branch is never afraid of it breaking because her trust isn't in the branch, but her own wings. And when you ask, how did I come up with the, yeah, I know, right? I love that.
I love it.
I wish I could
love
put my
too.
Name on that one. But when you think
I haven't
of
heard
that
one.
Quote, you know, it was really born out of, sounds very, very modest and humble, but I was just very in the right place at the right time. But I was in the hospital and I was bored out of my mind. And somebody was like, you should just write a book. Because I've always kind of written blogs here and there. Nothing really ever that caught on.
There's a reason
like,
for
yeah,
a book.
Whatever,
is, oh, you're bored. You're bored out of your mind. Go write a book. That's a new one too.
You know, instead
funny.
Of reading what everyone else has to say, why don't you share your opinions? And so it started off as, I don't really have an opinion. I don't really have a voice. And so I better interview some people that do. And so that was how I got on the phone with like the co-founder of Netflix, is I used my sales ability from, you know, almost a decade in recruiting. And I just started interviewing people whose voices I thought mattered. And then I started forming my own opinions. So it'll actually come out a year from the day I first started writing it, and it's about 55,000
wow.
words. So the average first-time business genre author is about 40,000 words. So it wound up being a really big project, but it's not really my voice. It's the voice of everybody that I've admired over my entire life.
Well, and I mean, I'm curious, Sarah, what were maybe one or two really surprising comments from some of the people that you talked to, you know, when you were asking them, what were maybe just two people that you just went, wow, that's amazing, you know, obviously that they're in the book, but can you share a couple of those aha moments that you had in interaction with others based, you know, for your book?
Can. So a while ago when I was doing recruiting in Florida, you have amazing questions, by the way. I was doing recruiting in Florida.
Oh, well, thank you.
I was a corporate recruiter. And, you know, the job didn't work out. So I wound up moving to San Diego, and I interviewed my old boss, okay? He was the owner of this company, and I asked him, you know, how much he thought about the landscape of business and what he would do differently. Now, at the time, I did not realize he helped create a company that has over a billion with a B in assets. I just figured, you know, pick up the phone, call the guy who, you know, it didn't work out with him and figure out, you know, how he's running a successful company. And he told me,
right.
And I'll never forget this, and I love this. I'm so excited you asked this. And so we're having this conversation, and we're talking about exploring, because I love nature shows. Like, give me BBC America. Let me watch Bear Grylls run through forests. And he goes, pretty much everything in the world has been discovered, but the last frontier is business. And I laughed. And then he goes, well, think of it, Kaylin. He goes, you can create something out of nothing and grow it to whatever size you want. He's like, there's very few places, if any, left on this world that the average person can go and create something and see what happens with it and discover something. And that, like thinking of business as a frontier that's untapped, that's brilliant. So that one was life-changing for me.
That's a pretty good one, I got to admit. You know, and I want to go back, I mean, just even something that you brought up earlier, because again, if we're talking about female entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general, you know, nobody goes into business and says, I want to sell, right? You know, I mean, S-E-L-L is like a four-letter bad word. And I'm curious because you brought up just two words that I love. It's like persuasion and influence. And, you know, I mean, I came from banking, and it was interesting to me that they never called us salespeople. They called us business development directors. And I'm like, it's a different mindset, you know, on the whole side of selling. But, you know, share some of your insight, because I thought that was very key what you brought up, is that it, you know, every business is in the sales business. I don't care what business you do. And I think for entrepreneurs, they forget that. They miss that. Can you share some of, you know, your wise advice on making sure you see sales as the lifeblood of your business? I think it's so critical, and you've got, I know, got some good meat there. Share a couple things with our listeners, please.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a saleswoman first and foremost. My company is built on a sales premise. That's why we can recruit for virtually any C-level position and their lines in under 21 days and less. Like, we get sales. But I'll tell you what, you'll never find sales on any of our stuff. In fact, my recruiters, they're called recruitment communications managers. They're saleswomen, let me tell you right now. So they're not communications managers. But I think the thing is everybody is good at it. They just don't realize that they are, or they're afraid to be proud of it. And once you can overcome that hurdle, there's nothing else to overcome. You've got it.
Well, and for you at an early age, I mean, first of all, I want to ask you about your business, but, you know, when you first started out, I mean, were there classes that you took, or where did you learn, you know, in your wise young years, how did you learn that sales was really more about persuasion and influence, as opposed to looking at it, you know, as so many people that it's like, I'm trying to give somebody and sell them something they don't want, you know, or I'm looked at as a sleazy salesperson? Because once you realize it is about, you know, offering, you know, a solution to a problem or things that people want that they don't have that'll help them be better, do better, or look better, whatever those things are that they want to be better at, it's just a matter of finding the right fit for people that need it. You know, now you're becoming more of a solutions provider. But where did you find that? Because I don't see those wise young folks like yourself finding that piece of it so quickly.
I think, so some credit has to go to my dad, and if he's listening, then he's going to have the biggest smile I think he's ever going to have in his life for that. I never want to admit he's right, like any, you know, daughter wants to do. But I mean, right. He started brainwashing me, and we used to play these contests all the time growing up where he'd just say stuff like, okay, well, I'll give you a quarter if you go pick up all the dandelions in the yard. We lived in Iowa. And so I'd convince all the neighbors to pick up all the dandelions and try to fill a trash bag. And then he'd change his mind at the last minute and say, nope, sorry, I can only pay you a nickel per dandelion. And then I'd have to negotiate with him because, you know, I have employees to pay at this point. Now I'm mad. I'm angry. And so then I was like, I better be better at it than he is. And so I started brainwashing myself with all the greats. I mean, Zig Ziglar, the Karas negotiation seminars. I just watched Jordan Belfort's Straight Line Persuasion. That came out in 2003, I think, before The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, I've just been brainwashing myself with it. Been Selling by Neil Rackham, Silver Bullet Selling. It's one by a guy actually out here in San Diego based on, 6,000 interviews, I think is what it was, with 33,000 pages of notes. It was just to try to beat my dad. I don't know what I was trying to prove, but I'm still bitter about the dandelion fiasco. So that's where all of that knowledge came from, is Google, Amazon, and Kindle, just trying to study up on it. So one day I'll get a trash bag full of quarters.
I love it. It sounds like you're a junkie of knowledge, and that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. Man, listen, listeners, take advice here from somebody 28. Tell me a little bit about Landmakers. I really want to hear more. I mean, what a great name. It's like this is your business, right? But where, I mean, first of all, the name is cool, and then Director of Talent Communications sounds like, you know, very thoughtful and purposeful title. I'm curious about the, you know, the evolution and the start of your business.
Yeah, so I've been recruiting for, you know, about 10 years, and I've noticed that I don't like a lot of the things, and I respect the way staffing and recruiting is going. I see why other companies are doing well, but I didn't like all of the ways in which these firms operate. So even though my title is Director of Talent Communications, I mean, I founded the company, but I just wanted to, for part of sales, I just wanted to say director to come in at more of a friendly partnership. And what we do is for high growth companies, we actually teach talent acquisition strategies and then alternatively implementation if their own departments don't want to implement what we do. But we have interviewing on a way that's behavioral, performance-based, and skills and achievement-based interview techniques. So it's not like we're throwing candidates against a wall and hoping one sticks, but we're really partnering with companies for the long-term results of the people they bring on. And in a high growth company, I mean, that's, you need that kind of partnership. And then we found out that because we have a lot of benefits with local San Diego based entrepreneurs, why don't we just cut our rates in half? So currently we're 60% more affordable than any other recruiting staffing agency out there. And then we have a proprietary system that allows us to do this in 21 days or less. And we'll actually show your team how to do it. And if you decide you don't want to do that, you'd rather have us do it, then we can take that as well. So it's been a fun little project, and I'm super excited about the clients I have. We're pretty big in the entrepreneurs organization in Vistage now, and we're growing pretty quickly over it. And I'm so happy that
good
people are
you.
Getting benefits and growing their companies.
Well, you know, first of all, awesome. I mean, congratulations. And you know, the other part that I heard through all the things you say, Kaylin, it's like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you really kind of set yourself apart, you know, the people in your same industry. I mean, what prompted you? Was it a business plan? You kind of said you did some research and said, here's where we want to have a different focus. You know, I mean, the whole price cutting thing, you know, why did you decide to do that? A little more detail, because I always go, oh, man, don't cut our prices. But I'm curious, has that really been a sell for you, you know, to get people to, you know, kind of like step up? Because I know in the staffing industry, it's really tough because people will talk, oh, man, you know, all the pricing is all the same.
Yeah, I don't think it's right for, you know, 25 to 33%. I mean, my overhead's not that expensive. I cut down the overhead. Why not pass the savings on to companies in San Diego that are growing? I mean, I think that's foster our local economic growth. That's why we join organizations, and that's why we get on the radio, and that's why we help other people, is we're in it for the long haul. We're not in it to make just a quick buck. If we were, yeah, sure, I'll charge you 30%. I don't care. But I'd rather charge you 10 to 15 and you like us enough to come back and really facilitate that partnership. And it was born out of, I was doing it, don't laugh, but I was doing it for free for a while because I just wanted to see everybody else succeed. And my boyfriend's very, very involved locally as an entrepreneur as well. He owns wholesale warranties. And I was helping so many of his friends that are other entrepreneurs. And then I started building out his company. And he's just like, you know, you might have a business here. And at the time I was like, yeah,
wow.
I probably do, but whatever. And his is about $7 million of revenue a year. And so he's like, how about I help you scale this? And I was like, I only want to do it if it's a service to the community. And he was like, this is absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I've hired, like I said, like 40% of his staff, and we finished 11 placements last month for local companies, which, I mean, these are all direct hire people, you know, very, very high level people. So 7 a month is just unheard of, or 11 a month is unheard
of. That's
crazy. I apologize.
Well,
so
it is. And even just the people you're
people.
Even the people you're connecting with. I mean, and then, so I'm curious, it's like the specialty, what kind of positions, you know, do you place? Is it just only executive level, or what are the areas of specialty?
Yeah, so it's C-level and they're vertical. So nothing too technical. I had an offer for a biostatistician. I'm not your girl. I'd love to help you, but trust me, that's not what I'm going to do good for you. But we've done vice presidents of ops. We've done a CFO. We've done a accounting manager. We've done several inside and outside sales executives, a VP of HR. I'm looking at my board because I'm doing this all from memory at this point. Let's go with that for now. There might have been like another random one in there. But I mean, that should give everyone kind of a taste of what it is.
It is, and I only have a couple minutes left here, Kaylin, but I'm curious, you know, and again, just thank you for being so personal and sharing, you know, your kind of like health situation with cystic fibrosis, you know, and the genetic disease that you have. How does that, you know, when you think of the future of your business, how do you look at, and I know this is going to be extremely inspiring, but how do you look at your business when people will say, look at the 5 to 10 years down the road? I mean, for you, how do you look at things differently? Because I would imagine it's a very different perspective for the future of you and your business. How do you see the future for your company?
Yeah, so the reality is I don't know if I'll even be there 5 years from now. If you study the life expectancy of people with CF, I mean, it's pretty grim. I'm one of the oldest with my mutation in the world. So the answer that I developed was, you hire people that are better and more intelligent than you are, and you train them to the best of your ability. And then you get a couple key players on your board of advisors who will facilitate the finances and stay true to the mission should anything ever happen. And I'll tell you, my staff, way more intelligent than I ever am. I mean, some of the things they come up with, I'm blown away. And that's what works for me, is I'm not afraid to be the dumbest person in the room. In fact, I kind of like it.
It inspires me. So let me give you a different take. It's like, what are your major, you know, the word BHAG, right? Your big, hairy, audacious goals just in the next, you know, 12 months. What's your BHAG for the next 12 months? Because I want you to leave us with something really positive and good.
Yeah. So this book, I want it to absolutely be a bestseller. Right now on pre-orders, it is. So when we talk about the book, yeah, guys, let's go out. Let's get on Amazon. The first few days, it'll be sharply discounted. So it's going to be out, I think, October 20th on Amazon. So let's make this a bestseller. And when we talk about the company, I kind of like where we're at as far as being able to do 10-plus placements a month. I mean, and by the way, I love scaling up, so I'm very familiar with BHAG. And, you know, so we think about growing the recruiting company out and helping more San Diego-based businesses in their C-level and vertical positions. And then we think about my own life, and sounds pretty basic, but I want to make it to the gym 4 times a week for cardio and twice a week for yoga. And then one weightlifting session every other day. I mean, these are things that are all implementable, and it's just about having that process and actually sticking to the process with severe pig-headed discipline. If we're going to do another book reference into The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes there.
I'm giving you a hug right now. I just want you to know how much you've just given me goosebumps for the day. And, you know, I mean, seriously, I can't thank you enough, Kaylin, because it's like, you know, everybody has bad days, and, you know, we don't hold a candle to what you're dealing with. And like I said, I think you've inspired women throughout the country today, so I want to thank you for that. If any, you know, of our listeners want to raise their hand, well, first of all, where can they reach back to you? I'm assuming it'll be on Amazon, but if people want to connect with you, can you share how you want to be, you know, found, where people should look for you to raise their hand and say, you know, you were inspirational, or that they want to find your book? How do they reach you?
Yeah, first of all, I really, really appreciate the shout out, and I'm giving you a hug back because this is so fun. But you can find me, guys. It's funny, I'm 28, so everything's on social media. But on LinkedIn.com/in/advanceyourcareer. You can just type in my name. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Quinn out there is the way it's spelled. So Kaylin, K-L-Y-N. And then iamseriespro.com is the website for the book. So that should give you some pretty good insight more into the personality and some sneak peeks.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be one of the first ones. So you better let me know when your book's out, because I think I'm going to buy a few and, you know, give those away as gifts, right? Just sounds very inspirational. So no blank. We've got the fill in now. Anyway, that is our show. Yeah. Well, you know, we have to have a conversation on that. So let's do that, Kaylin. Can we do that?
We're doing it.
I love it. I love it. You've been awesome. So to our listeners, hey, reach out to Kaylin. Look for her book. Raise your hand if you'd like more information from her. But girl, like I'm saying, you gave me goosebumps today because I had a rough morning. But nothing, you know, just from what you inspired me today. So thank you. And thank you for being our leading lady. And of course, thank you to all of our listeners. As you know, we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. And we'll be here again next week for another leading lady in another show. But for now, I just want to say thank you for all of you in listening to us. We've been around since 2010. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back again with Women Leading the Way Radio.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.